there this morning. Right, I've been looking forward to this since last week. We're going to now talk to the lovely Angie Brewer. She's going to be telling all about a new book she's just came out as well, and it's called Just a Fizz. We've got Angie on the line now. Morning, Angie.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you doing, lovely? You okay?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Very good, very good. So, new book out, just came out, yeah. Was it last week?
24th of August.
Fantastic. So it's called Just a Fizz. And
yeah, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we're a very inclusive station here. I'm trans myself, of course. And obviously, about transitioning and, well, how did the book come about, Angie? That's the first thing I want to ask you.
My friend Andrew Milner sent me a message in 2016, and he was on about writing a diary of my transition.
Okay.
And different stages of it.
Yeah.
And he mentioned writing a blog, and right. Then in 2017, because I'd wrote that much in the first like 12 months,
yeah.
He was like, we need to turn it into a book, really. And then it developed from there, and then we started messaging each other with stories from birth onwards. But he's been my best friend throughout my life.
Yeah.
And he's known me for as long as I've been alive, to be honest. And
yeah.
And he knows a lot of the stories from when we were growing up anyway. So
fantastic.
It went from there.
Yeah, because I mean, we've never spoken before, but did it start young with you? Because I think a lot of people it does, doesn't it?
It did. It, yeah. I think my earliest recollection is like 3 or 4 years old.
And yeah.
It was like, okay, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, there's something not quite know. Right. Yeah. I was about 6 when I realised that something didn't quite fit with me. So I can definitely resonate with you there.
Yeah, I think most transgender people, it does start young. And again, I mean, we're talking, for me personally, because I'm now 53, we're talking early 70s. So there wasn't much known about it at the time. And
yeah, that's true. That's true.
And the old, like the adults kind of didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's really one of them taboo subjects, isn't it?
Because yes.
Things have changed, though. I think things are getting better. But, I mean, I'm a little bit younger than yourself. I grew up mostly in the 80s and the 90s. And things hadn't really moved on from the 70s, had it? I didn't think. And it's really
come
to the forefront lately. You've got like positive people coming through now. You've got Jake and Hannah Graff. People like that are now in the spotlight, which is always positive, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we need people coming out and being in the spotlight, don't we?
Yeah, this is it.
And talking about it and making it more accessible, and again promoting knowledge, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do a lot of public speaking, as we spoke about before, and that's what it's about, making it like giving people a knowledge and getting it out there that, you know, we're not weirdos. It's not a sexualized thing. It's you know, it's just the way you're born, isn't it? It really is.
Exactly. And hopefully the book will dispel a lot of myths and answer a lot of questions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the more positive knowledge out there, like you said, it's going to change things and make things easier for generations to come as well.
It does, yes.
Yeah,
it does.
Absolutely. Because it's never easy, is it? I mean, you know yourself what it's like, and we hide away. I mean, I suppose, was that like that for you as well?
Yeah, dirty little... It felt, especially when I was growing up, it felt like a dirty little secret. And
yeah.
Again, I had people to talk to, but it was one of those situations where I didn't know how to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, just made me think it was a dirty little secret, and every time, you know, you just feel guilty over it. And
absolutely, yeah.
Again, my biological mother found out a few times, and, you know, I got told to join the army, or it was just a phase I was going through, and hence the title of the book.
Yeah, I very much like the
title. Quite apt.
Yeah, I very much like the title of the book, because that's where I got. It's just a phase. I think that's a term that a lot of people say, don't they? Oh, it's just a phase. Or I think even trans people themselves, they think, oh, it's just a phase. I'll grow out of it. You know, like you said, joining the army or whatever it happens to be. We all do something else to go in the opposite direction of people. Oh, I'm not trans. But it doesn't go away, does it? It really doesn't.
It doesn't, no.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the honest part about it for me was, I got to 25, 26, 27, and I actually thought I'd have grown out of it by that age, and the feelings were getting stronger, and it's like, well, there's something not quite right now, so.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get to, a breaking point as well? Because I know I very much did. Couldn't do it no more.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I mean, the amount of times I've thrown my clothes away and said, right, I'm not doing it ever again. And then the flip side to that is you go to your doctor and you talk to your doctor about it, and they just want, again, we're talking early 90s, they say, right, we'll deal with your depression first. It's like, depression? What depression?
Yeah.
I'm not depressed.
You're not depressed, no.
No. No, but the flip side was they thought it was depression, so.
Yeah, well.
And then you've got psychoanalysts that are saying, well, don't dress as a woman ever again. It's like, well, that doesn't really help, does it?
Yeah. I think even this day and age, I still think that, you know, even doctors now don't really have a grip of it, and they don't still get it and understand it, and, you know, it's still, I mean, the NHS situation is an absolute nightmare. We don't go there this morning. It's still very much, you know, we need that knowledge out there, don't we? We still need, yes. Yeah, I mean, I always compare to, you know, like where gay people were, say, about 30 years back.
Yes.
And we're very much still way, way further back than that. And on the acceptance levels anyway.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I think I totally agree with what you were saying. We need to educate the doctors. The doctors need to actually take time to listen to what people are saying to them, and again, having someone, maybe having a mentoring system where somebody that's gone through it all goes with the person to back them up and say, no, it's not depression. It's not depression at all. This person is actually transgender.
Exactly. I mean, you know. Well, not focus on the negative. So you're transitioning, was it 2010?
I started in 2010, but there was issues that I was trying to deal with at the time that I didn't deal with. So it got kind of put on hold, and then the real transition started back in the 2015.
Right.
2016.
Right. And of course, all the nerves about going out for the first time and all that stuff. Oh. Been there.
Do you know the strangest thing?
Yeah.
The first day that I went out fully, I was going to work, and it was a 3:30 start in the morning, which is really, really early, and it's like, I was super excited about doing it, and I had no nerves whatsoever. It's like, you must have been nervous.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. It was like, do you know what? Right. I'm not nervous.
Just feels
it
right.
It just felt so right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It felt so right. Yeah. And it was like, bring it on. But again, because of the company I worked for at the time, we're saying, like, you've got to do it in stages and tiny baby steps and what have you. Okay, what have you. I'll do it that way if you want. But, you know, within a couple of months, it was like, right, sod it, I'm done. Time to go full time.
Well, this is it. You can only do it for so long. For me personally, I was at Leeds Pride. We did Leeds Pride, and I got the end of that day, and I went, look, I can't do this no more. I'm gonna have to do something about this. It was just crazy. Yeah. I mean, I could rattle on for hours because, like I said, I've told my story so many times in public, and. Yeah. It's like, you know, you get to that point where you look, I just can't do this anymore. And it's about building the confidence up to do it as well. Or it was for me anyway. I don't know if that you felt that the same. But you can't do it forever. You have to do it, don't you?
Yeah. I think the most nervous thing for me was actually the day that I actually grabbed the bull by the horns and spoke to the manager where I was working and said, look, this is what I need to do.
Yeah.
I think I was more frightened about doing that than actually going to work the first time as the real me. So,
yeah. I mean, I've done
a bus driver.
Oh, is that what you do? You're a bus driver?
Sorry, I was, yes.
Oh, you were at the time. All right.
I was at the time,
It's
yes.
funny that I've got another friend who's trans. She's a bus driver as well. There you go.
Yeah. What's your years about? It must be something to do with driving a bus.
Must be. Oh, fantastic. I've had a few messages in while we've been talking here as well, Angie. I've heard this chat's really great, bringing things into perspective. That's Sam down in Devon, a good friend of mine. And another friend of mine, Jean, she's saying, loving the chat with the author. It's like listening to three friends. Enjoy your life and keep improving. There you go. And that's what Jean's saying.
Thank you.
Positive messages. That's what it's all about, Angie. We've got to be positive, and things are positive and moving forward. And the main thing is, and I bet I know the answer to this, are you a lot happier now?
I am now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best, honestly, I had my surgery last December, and it's the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
You know, genuinely, it's life changing, it's life affirming.
Exactly. Life's good.
And it's given me a life, you know.
This is it. You can't not be you. And, you know, people who haven't met anybody trans, they can't understand that you're just hiding in the shadows. You've been pigeonholed by society, I always say as well, you know, especially being a man is very much a small little bracket of things you're allowed to do. You've got to man up and you're told you should cry and you can't do this and show your emotions and everything else. And you get put in that little pigeonhole and you're just like, that's not me. I don't fit.
No.
So you have to do something about it, but anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm so pleased, Angie, you brought the book out. It's going to be fantastic. I really hope it does really well for you. Spreading more positivity, because that's what we really need, don't we?
It is, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. And I'd say the book is, that's what, I'd say if you read the book from cover to cover, you'll find out that there's highs, there's lows, but that there's such a positivity towards the end of the book where it's leading up to, and then post surgery it's as I say, you can see the change that I've gone through.
Fantastic. So Angie, whereabouts can you get the book from then?
If you send me a message, you can get it from me and I'll sign it for you.
Fantastic.
Or you can buy it from Amazon as a paperback and as an ebook, and it's also on iTunes.
Fantastic. Now, fantastic.
And there's going to be other places that where it's going to be available, but at the moment, obviously, it's only been out a couple of weeks, so I say we're finding our feet. I've never published a book before, so it's all kind of new ground for me.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, Angie.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and I wish you absolutely all the best with your new book as well.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
No problem. Thank you, Angie. I'll see you soon, and we will speak again soon, hopefully, if that's true.
Yes, my pleasure.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Angie. Yeah. And.